Good afternoon, everyone. This is Victoria Witzer from Ketchum Public Relations, and I'd like to welcome you to today's CMS webinar session titled Tell Your Story, Developing and Delivering a Media Pitch. Today's presentation is being recorded and will be posted online on the National Children's Health Insurance Summit website. Before we introduce CMS and our presenter, we wanted to familiarize everyone with some of the tools of the interactive WebEx site. At the bottom right-hand side of the screen, you will see a chat feature. We invite you to chat with us and other participants and ask us questions. Please type your question in the small text box provided. There will also be a Q&A at the end of the presentation, however, which will also serve as an opportunity to ask your questions. At that point, please raise your hand. You can do this by clicking on the hand icon above the chat box. Please lower your hand if your question has been answered. We will then call on you and unmute your line. Please note that at the end of the presentation, we will be unmuting everyone's lines for a general discussion on future webinar sessions that will be led by CMS. If you are not participating in this discussion, please mute your line to avoid background noise. And also, please do not put us on hold, as we will be able to hear your background music. And now I'd like to introduce Lisa Wilson from CMS.
Thank you so much. Welcome, everybody. We want to say welcome to our kickoff to the webinar series that CMS will be hosting. We will be hosting several different audiences. This time it's y'all, the grantees. And this one is actually focused on communications and messaging. Today we're providing you with access to an expert, Matt Stearns. He's the vice president at Ketchum, and he is also a former reporter, so he'll be speaking from personal experience also. We are very excited because we know that this webinar allows us to communicate a little bit differently, and as Victoria alluded, to have several modes of communication going on at once. So don't be afraid to quote, pass notes during class. There is a chat room on the right-hand side on the bottom that you can see, and you know, you can feel free to talk during the webinar via that method of communication. We think that this offers a more robust form of communication, and so we're very excited to be kicking off this webinar series today. We are hearing that y'all, our grantees, are doing a lot of great work out there. We're very excited, and we're also very excited to learn how we can further assist you and provide more technical assistance. So again, as Victoria alluded to, we'll be having kind of a follow-up discussion after the presentation about what else that we can do to assist y'all. So welcome, sit back, relax, and I'd like to introduce Matt Stearns, who will be going through today's presentation.
Terrific. Thank you very much, Lisa, and thank you all so much for taking the time to join us today. I hope you'll find this useful in your efforts to raise awareness of what you're trying to do out there in the field. What we're going to do today is very simple. Talk about how to develop and deliver a media pitch. In other words, a request for a news outlet, whether it's TV, local TV, radio, or a local newspaper, to cover your story, to get the word out about what you're trying to do. And this is not going to be a theoretical class. This is going to be a nuts and bolts kind of a seminar on how to help you get your story told, things you can hopefully really use in your everyday work out there. So we'll get started without further ado. I should tell you that Lisa's right. I have been on both the receiving and the pitching end of pitches. So I'd like to think I have some idea of what will get a reporter's interest. If we could move the slide, that would be oh, here we go. Session overview. So what we're going to do now for the next several minutes is think about what you need to do to conduct media outreach. You know, you need to figure out what your story is. What are you trying to tell? You need to choose the appropriate outlets for telling that story. You need to prepare your pitch, figure out the best way to get a reporter or a producer's interest, and then deliver that pitch in an efficient and compelling way to a time-challenged reporter or producer. And then at the end of that, after we go through all that, we'll talk a little bit about the CHIP pitch challenge and basically talk about how you can implement all the things I'll be talking about over the coming days. So if we can move to the value of media coverage, very sort of simple question. Why do you want media coverage? Why would you have to reporter? Why would you want to have to deal with reporters? Because it serves your purpose in several ways. It's a way to convey key messages, clear up any possible confusion about what is available and what isn't available, and it enables you to tell your story yourself rather than let someone else do it. It's always best to be communicating your messages rather than risk someone else doing it and doing it in a way that might not be accurate. Obviously important to educate the community about the very important issue that you all are working on, and a way to ensure that the public is aware that they can connect, get more children covered with health insurance. Media pitch is also an opportunity. It's an opportunity for the media to learn about something their audience needs to know or will find interesting. Now more than ever, news outlets need to be relevant and to their audiences, because their audiences they risk losing their audience on a daily basis in the sort of crazy world that the media world that we live in. So if you have a story to be told that's relevant, they're more than willing to listen. And obviously it's an opportunity for you to get your message to your intended audience, whether they're children's parents or educators, the larger community, whatever, just an opportunity to spread the word. So let's start with developing your story. Reporters talk about, or producers talk about, leads. Get to the point. Think of your lead. The lead in the story is the most important element. It's the first sentence in the story. Think about what you want your audience to come away with and why that information is important to share. To do that, you have to think about relevance. And if you're dealing, as many of you will be, with local media, I can tell you three things are important to keep in mind. One is local, local, local. News organizations care most about local news because they need to be relevant to their immediate audiences. More than ever, it's important to have news you can use. In other words, news that their audiences can say, oh, that's relevant to my life and something that will have an impact on me. And last, there's an old saying in the news business that the first three letters of news are N-E-W. That's new. And so you don't want to be risk being redundant or trying to interest someone in something that you think might be an interesting issue but isn't really new in any way. So let's think about how we can sort of meet all those standards. Current events or news, what we in the news business call a news hook, such as key dates or anniversaries. For example, the upcoming first anniversary of CHPRA is something that you can use as a news hook to try and get a reporter interested or a producer interested in your story. Does your information affect the local community? Obviously, I mean, it goes without saying that that you are trying to get local people, local children covered, and so clearly you do affect the local community. But are there, more important than just that, are there changes in eligibility requirements or application processes that people might need to be aware of in your states and locales? And finally, are there local individuals or groups who can play a part in telling your story? And it's, you know, such as if you're hosting a local event or someone else is hosting a local event for you, that's another way to another news hook that you can use that's local and that's relevant. So next thing we have to think about is, who do we call or email? Who's the media outlet? Most important thing to think about is who you want to reach. Potential clients or consumers, in other words, the parents or caregivers of children who need coverage, or are you trying to reach fundraisers or potential funders or something like that? You need to sort of what we in PR call splinter your media. Figure out which outlets are most likely to affect the audiences or to reach the audiences you're trying to reach. So if you're, for instance, if you want to reach a predominantly Spanish-speaking population, many cities and regions have pretty robust Spanish language media. It might not be something you necessarily pay attention to on a daily basis in your consumption of news, but it's an important element in potentially for folks you're trying to reach. So try to sort of put yourself in your potential client's shoes. Obviously, local newspapers are very important, and if you have local news radio stations, those are all sort of very ground level outlets that people in local areas pay a lot of attention to. On the other hand, you know, if you're trying to reach potential clients for people who have uninsured children, you know, you may not necessarily want to reach out to your local NPR station, whose demographics tend to be slightly different. Next is, you have to do some research. Be prepared. Nothing annoys reporters more than an unfocused, poorly researched pitch. I speak from experience. Does the outlet cover the kind of information you have to offer? Is a reporter that's covered that topic in the past? What's being said about CHIP or Medicaid in the outlet? And what have you seen in the news recently that your story could tie to? This is all very important because you don't want to be, as I said earlier, redundant. You don't want to call a reporter with what you think is a great story and have that reporter say, yeah, I wrote about that last week. You don't want to call a producer and say, hey, would you be interested in covering this? Well, no, we don't really cover that sort of thing. So just there's always some local media that will be interested in what you're trying to do. But your job in developing a well-crafted and compelling pitch is to ensure that you're reaching the right media by asking yourself these questions. And then you, of course, have to determine the most appropriate media. Is it print? Is it television, radio, or even online? And, you know, frankly, I think there's probably some combination of those, and we'll talk later about sort of what's the best way to approach each one of those types of outlets. And we'll talk about it right now. What stories are fit for print? What makes a good print story? Trend or in-depth stories, what are you seeing as someone who's on the ground who works on this on a daily basis? What are you seeing that surprises you or is counterintuitive to what the general public might think? Think of it, if you're just talking to your friends about your work and say, you know, this is really interesting. You wouldn't believe this, but this is the trend I'm seeing, or this is something that's interesting. If it's interesting enough to talk with a friend about, it's probably interesting enough to interest a reporter. And remember that you're the expert. Reporters, especially these days, aren't necessarily experts in your area. So, you know, you generally will have information that that they need. It's a matter of packaging it in a way that's interesting. Another way of making a good print story is making sure that it has a local or national impact on readers. It's really important to have local anecdotes. People who have benefited from what you do, any kind of, as I said earlier, local is the mantra. So anything you can tell a reporter that makes it relevant to his or her audience is really important. Supporting data, facts, and third-party sources. Third-party validation is really key to establishing credibility with reporters. Obviously, you will go in there as a grantee who works on a daily basis with a level of credibility, but it's always really good to have backing, data backing up what you're saying and seeing. Same thing with studies, reports, and white papers. So long as they're recent, it's a great way to have a news hook and to establish further credibility. And finally, if you have any kind of information that's really hot or interesting, if you can give an exclusive to a reporter, that's always a pretty good guarantee of garnering a reporter or producer's interest. And if it is events-driven, reporters and producers in the privacy of newsrooms will mock covering events, but they always do it for the most part because it's something, a real sort of tangible news hook that they can exploit for the purpose of doing a story. A lot of those that we went through are also, frankly, very helpful in getting something on air, whether it's TV or radio, but TV and radio are different kind of beasts that have slightly different needs. For instance, differentiating element between that and a print news story is you really need to have a credible, energetic, and articulate spokesperson, someone who can present well on camera is really important. Also, sort of if you can present to a producer a fully conceived segment idea with B-roll, which is basically a pre-produced video that they can use, that also is something that would be very helpful in getting a story on broadcast on a local television news outlet. Radio, very similar, the timely, newsworthy, obviously trending stories are always important. You still want someone who can speak in a quick soundbite. Even more important to get a quick, good soundbite in radio because the segments in radio can frequently be even shorter than TV. So you really want someone who can get right to the nut of the argument very quickly. And obviously, as always, you want a strong relevance to the listening area and the audience. More and more, it's important to deal with the online world, although I will also add that, frankly, in most of the areas you probably are working in, generally the most popular website are usually the newspaper website. So you really can kill a couple birds with one stone. If you're talking to the print outlet, you're probably also going to be dealing with one of the leading websites. That said, blogs and microblogs, Facebook, Twitter are all increasingly important part of the communications conversation, if you will. The one thing I would counsel you to do is, just as you're identifying key reporters and key outlets, you want to identify key blogs. People, local, in state or regional or local bloggers who write about your issues in some way, monitor them and respond to them. If a blogger writes something that is inaccurate or damaging in some way, absolutely you should respond in a respectful way to them to set the record straight. They generally will appreciate that. Similarly, if they write something that is helpful to you or is accurate and accurately reflects what you're trying to do or are doing in the community, you should respond to that as well and thank them for it and offer them more information. It's an important way to build good relations online. Social media such as Facebook and Twitter can also be used. A good way of doing it is if you have a I would recommend you establish your own Twitter account and share links with folks throughout your community who can then ensure that your word gets out in that way. Let's talk about the pitch. Let's talk about the ask. You can do it via email or phone call. I would generally recommend if it's possible to do an email pitch and then follow up with a phone call. Writing an email allows you to sort of get your thoughts in order. It allows you to have the time to really figure out what you're trying to say and what the ask is and organize it appropriately. Once you establish that in an email, then it's easier for you, having done all that, to know what's top of your mind when you make the follow-up phone call. The lead, the first sentence, grabs the reporter's attention and interest and summarizes the key components of your story. The ask, what you want the reporter to do, write a story, attend an event, etc. Supporting details, providing data to support why this would make a good story, and who you have available to tell the story. Closing, offer a summary of the ask, what you're asking them to do, and ask for how you volunteer to follow up with that reporter, and then provide your contact information. The most important thing is don't make the reporter work for basic information. Think of it as a reporter will think of writing a story as sort of literally, you know, who, what, where, when, how, and why, and that's what you should be doing too when you're approaching reporters or producers. And very important, no typos. When I got email pitches, when I was a reporter, if I saw a typo in it, I automatically deleted it. If somebody doesn't care enough to do it right and be accurate, then, you know, why should I trust them to be a source for anything? So, I mean, believe me, with the number of pitches reporters get, it can sometimes come down to that, just showing that level of professionalism in what you're trying to do. Delivering the pitch. Okay, so you sent an email. You will then follow up with a phone call, probably either later that day or early the next day. Prepare your pitch before you pick up the phone. Know exactly what you want to say and how you say it. When the reporter answers the phone, they frequently will be gruff, possibly abrasive. That's okay. Respect their time. Say, hey, it's so-and-so. I'm calling from such-and-such agency. Do you have a minute? Are you on deadline? Always ask a reporter if they're on deadline. And as a sort of corollary to this, never call a reporter after 4 o'clock in the afternoon. That's when they're really crunching on deadline and just don't have time. Frankly, the best time, most reporters, in my experience, working in several newsrooms across the country, tend to get in the office somewhere between 9:30 and 10:30 in the morning. They work late, so, you know, it's all right. If you want to call, I would sort of give them at least a two-day lead time. You don't want to say, hey, can you do something tomorrow? Because, you know, their time gets filled up. So a two-day lead time is a good way to make sure that they may be available. Be concise in your delivery, and by having written your email and knowing exactly what your ask is, you will be concise in your delivery. Introduce yourself. Be completely transparent about who you are, what your organization is, and why you're calling. Most important information up front, the lead we talked about earlier. And, you know, you may speak to a person live. You may get voicemail. And if they leave a voicemail, or if you get voicemail, leave a message. And don't be afraid to call back. And, you know, it's always important to practice. There's nothing wrong with sitting in your office or your cubicle and just sort of talking to yourself about, you know, sort of delivering a soliloquy, a quick soliloquy that you would be giving to a reporter. Some of your coworkers may look at you a little strangely, but it's all for the greater good. Maintaining media relationships. It's really important. I really do think, as a former reporter and as a current PR consultant, that it's really important to cultivate relationships. The most important part of media relationship is the relationship. You don't just want to call when you need something. The fact is, you all work in a very interesting area that's very newsworthy right now. You should use that to your advantage by becoming resources to these outlets, by providing them, calling them and say, hey, you know, I know that health insurance generally is an interest, is certainly an interesting area for folks right now in your business and in news. And certainly, you know, given what's happening in our economy, you know, there's great concern about health availability of health insurance, especially for kids. This is what we do. If you ever want to write about anything, I'd be happy to provide you information. I'd love to have coffee with you and talk to you about what our organization is, what we do, provide them with resources and materials, connect them to other sources who are working in your line of work. And always, if they do take you up on it, and they do say, yeah, and someday call you, to get a quote for a story they're working on, or just to get some background information, always, always provide timely responses. There's no faster or more efficient way to fall off a reporter's source list or to ensure that a reporter will never pay attention to you again than not responding to them when they tell you they're on deadline and would really like to hear from you, because there are plenty of other people who will do that. Position yourself as an expert or authority. You are. This is what you all do. And as I said earlier, this is something that's an area that's sort of inherently interesting these days. And the outlet will look to you first for information on that subject matter. And by being sort of what people like to call proactive in this, you'll stand out from other people in the field who, frankly, don't do this often enough. Maintain regular contact. Even if you're not asking something, even if you don't have something coming up, call every once in a while. You know, every month or so, every 3 weeks, and say, hey, you know, if there's anything going on, you know, let me know. Feel free to call if I can be of help in any way. Very important. One of the reasons it's important, even if they never do call you, although they generally will just to touch base, it makes it easier when you do have an ask, when you do need to pitch something. Reporters will think of you as not just a voice on the other end of the phone, but someone they know and potentially have a trusting relationship with if you've been able to provide them timely information on deadline in the past. So they're going to be nicer to you. They give you the benefit of the doubt. They won't be abrasive and rude to you. They're less likely to be abrasive and rude to you. So this is all hopefully information you can use as we move into what we are calling the Chip Pitch Challenge. There's some important, I think, moments in time coming up where we can sort of really try and put this into action, get cracking, and try to establish some relationships with reporters. So what we suggest doing is sometime between February 1st and 4th, identifying and contacting three media outlets to pitch the TIPRA anniversary story, first anniversary of the signing of the Children's Health Insurance Program Reauthorization Act. Identify those outlets and reporters. Summarize any changes in your state in the past year that you can highlight for them, whether it's a number or a percentage of children who have insurance who didn't before, any trends you're seeing, again, especially if it's counterintuitive. Reporters love counterintuitive stories. And draft your pitch using some key messages we'll provide later and supporting data from your local community. It's always important, too, to provide real people, if possible, who can speak to the program's benefits. That said, you know, you should always be careful that when you are, before you offer up a real person who's benefited from your program to a reporter, make sure that they're comfortable with it. Say to that person, you know, you're a great example of what we're trying to do. Would you mind if you know, we put you in touch with a news outlet or put a news outlet in touch with you so they could ask you a couple of very quick questions about how the program has benefited you and your family. And then between February 5th and 28th, identify three more media outlets who you can contact to pitch the Children's Health Coverage is Available Now story. I think this is exceptionally timely right now. And obviously, you know, you should, I think, stay away from partisan politics. But the fact of the matter is that there's a great degree of uncertainty over the state of general health care reform in Washington, D.C. That said, this is still out there and available for children, and people need to know that. So, you know, you can identify, again, a local family that's benefited from CHIPRA in the previous 12 months to provide color to the story. Draft a pitch, telling reporters, hey, you know, this is still available, that these programs are still available and still important and still making a difference to people's lives out here. And then email your project officer about your experience. These are some key messages we have developed for you, although I would hasten to add, I'm sorry, we're having a little technical difficulty here. There we go. Some key messages we've developed for you. Obviously, you should feel absolutely free, and you should, based on what we've talked about earlier, adapt your messages to your local media and make them relevant for local media. We happen to think these are some that would resonate with folks, with reporters and producers out there in the field. The one-year anniversary of CHIPRA, the one-year anniversary of the signing of the bill to help preserve coverage for millions of children who rely on CHIP and provide resources for states to reach millions of additional uninsured children. That, on its own, is not a story. What helps make a story is the data that supports the message, the data you can provide or you can get from your state CHIP director on what's changed, how many more people are being insured, the trends you're seeing, et cetera. And that in a difficult and uncertain economic environment, CHIPs being accessed by more families, ensuring more of the nation's children have health insurance coverage. So, you know, a message, if you think about approaching the media, the message is sort of the overarching thing you're trying to get across. What's important to reporters is sort of the data and the information that you can provide and the proof points, if you will, that can sort of support that key message. Another key message is that health insurance coverage is available for Health insurance coverage is available for uninsured children now. Families can immediately seek health insurance coverage for their children through these programs. When you're dealing with reporters, you should be sure to give them the name and contact information for the state CHIP program so they can include that information in their report so it can actually be of real use to potential beneficiaries of your programs. So that is a very quick rundown of Media Relations 101. I hope you found it useful, and obviously we're happy to take any questions right now. Thanks very much for your time.
Great.
I think you should go ahead and raise your hand, sort of virtually raise your hand if you have a question. And if no one has any questions, I can turn it over to Lisa. No, I think do we have a question?
Hi.
Hi, it's Diane.
Hi. Yeah, this is Diane from Health Conferral. How are you?
I met you at the
conference, so good
to
hear.
Yes.
We were at the same table, so that's great to hear you again. And I do have a question, which is more along the lines of like developing a tagline. So when we are talking about message, definitely is more information on the different messages that you shared with us, which were very helpful. But I wonder if you have any suggestions. How do you then get these different messages and come up with a catchy tagline to your particular audience? See if you have any insights on that.
Well, I think, that's a great question. I think advertising, I guess, and marketing to your direct sort of potential beneficiaries is something a little bit different. But I would say that it is important for you to try and sort of boil it down for reporters how you can sort of get a reporter's interest in a catchy way, you know.
Yeah.
I think something as simple as, you know, providing health insurance to uninsured children in times of uncertainty is a really nice sort of elevator speech, if you will, way of saying, you know, here's what we're doing and here's why it's important and you should be interested because why. I think important to remember, though, that when you're dealing with reporters and producers generally, they're going to want substance more than a tagline. They're really going to want, you know, to hear you talk about data and trends and people you're benefiting. Certainly, I think a tagline may be important to you in reaching out to your potential beneficiaries. But in terms of dealing with media, and as I recall, are you in the Boston media market? Is that right?
Yeah.
in the Boston media market, I think, you know, those reporters are pretty hard-bitten guys. I've worked with a lot of them over the years, and they are they're just going to want the facts more than a tagline.
Although we're going to be working with a lot of the social, the ethnic media. So when you mention about, you know, if you're dealing with Spanish-speaking or Portuguese-speaking, that's definitely very true. Like here, we have a lot of outlets who are targeting those communities.
That's great. Yeah, that's really important then for you to make sure you establish those relationships.
Yeah. Thank you.
And also to have a language, a spokesperson who can speak those languages, you know, to the outlets, obviously.
Thank you.
Sure. Thanks for listening to me again.
That was great.
Anything else? Any other questions from our listeners? Okay. If not, then I think we can turn it over to Lisa.
Great. Thank you so much. That was a great presentation. I found it very helpful. I know I learned a lot of things, like some of your insider tips were really helpful, like which hours to call and asking if folks were on a deadline and, you know, the appeal of sort of counterintuitive stories. All of those make sense now that you pointed them out, but there were things that I hadn't thought of before this call. So thanks, Matt. That was great. We are fixing to take everybody off mute. So what I need everybody to do is double-check your phone so you're not that person who's typing or talking so that everybody can hear you, because we're going to open up the phone lines to talk to y'all more about what other kinds of information that you need. So just beware that when we do open up the phone lines, then everybody just needs to be on mute and especially not on hold, because if you put us on hold, then sometimes people have that clever elevator music playing in the background, and we all get to hear that. So before I jump too far down into getting some feedback, I did want to point out a few things. Great. Before I jump too far into the feedback, let me just point out a few things. We do have a lot of complimentary information to supplement what Matt has talked to us today about. I'm not sure. Hopefully everybody has checked out on insurekidsnow.gov, which is our main website. If you go to the section called For Professionals, and then there's actually a section called Outreach Toolkit. One of the sections there, section number four, actually deals with the media. So it basically takes what Matt talked to us about today, reiterates it, gives some different examples, and even gives further discussion and ideas for, you know, ways to work with the media, including new media. Again, you know, Matt mentioned a lot about bloggers today and how you might interact with them. There's some information there on blogging that you also might find helpful. So I would point that out. I would also point out that in addition to the presentations that Matt made and, you know, the track that we had on kind of communications and messaging at our summit in November, we have all of the presentations are actually posted online. So there's a webcast of the audio plus a transcript and the PowerPoint slides. All of that's available on the website for the summit. So that's childrenshealthinsurancesummit.com. And you can click through and view any or all of the presentations, whatever you find useful. But I would just note that, remember, we had that fourth track that was about communications and messaging. And you can find some of the presentations that were made there that go into, you know, even further detail also. So with that said, I would just say thanks, everybody, for participating in our kickoff webinar. I am going to ask kind of three or four rounds of questions, and I'll just kind of preview what I'd like to ask so that you can kind of think about it in advance, and then we'll hopefully have a robust discussion. So one of the things that we'd like your feedback on is the usefulness of specific mechanisms for communicating information and sharing, building capacity. That includes things like, which mode of communication do you want? Do you like webinars, conference calls, newsletters, social networking, background briefs on policy, more individualized technical assistance, or just have like expert resources that are available? So I'll come back to this question again. I'm just kind of previewing what the questions are that I'd like to discuss today. We'd also be very interested in what the frequency of the communication modes you prefer. We hate to overwhelm, but we also want to make sure we give you what you need. Also, in terms of training, what kind of topics do you want to see represented? I know at the conference there were certain sessions that literally had folks overflowing into the hallways, and so obviously those might be things that we might look to, a literal vote with your feet at the conference may give us some indication of areas or topics that are particularly pertinent to the folks who are grantees, but we'd be very interested in hearing more from you about what you would in particular find helpful. So, you can kind of think of many of the topics that we talked about at the conference, so presumptive eligibility, retention techniques, school-based outreach, the performance bonus, working with families, in particular with, hard-to-reach populations. So those are some of the things that topics in particular that we, would like to talk about. So those are kind of the three things. So we'd be interested in your feedback on the modes of communication, kind of how often you hear from us, and then finally kind of what topics you want to hear about. So everybody's off mute. I definitely heard us kind of go over to the off mute. So I would just first throw the question out, which is, which types of information do you find or modes of communication do you find the most effective? And again, this is like webinars, briefs, electronic newsletters, things like that.
Can you guys hear us?
Yes.
Okay, this is Steve Skardon. We're in South Carolina. One thing that would be very helpful to us in communicating with the media is any kind of research that's out there that demonstrates the cost effectiveness of insuring children as opposed to leaving them uninsured. This is a pretty right-wing state, and the media doesn't necessarily resist that too much. They don't think just getting kids signed up for insurance is necessarily a great thing. We've got to prove to them that it's beneficial for the state to get every child covered rather than leaving them uncovered. So any kind of data, any kind of studies, anything like that that you can provide us over the next few months, we can get to the media and we can use it as our sort of counterintuitive story. So that's just offering a suggestion and telling you what we need. You don't need to respond to it necessarily.
Great. Thanks, Steve. I see Jaquetta, maybe. I don't know if she was part of your group.
Yes, okay. She's right here.
Okay, great. Other folks, do you find webinars helpful? And thinking even more broadly, like about policy that you might need to know about or other forms of ways that we can be communicating with folks, techniques, successful techniques, things like that, case studies, lessons learned, what works for you and for your organization?
This is Barbara. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I just wanted to respond to Steve because I think he made a good point, and we have a local data source. I'm with Hawaii Covering Kids, and the data that we found most useful in trying to make our case, I'll just give you the example. I'm going to read it off my website, so I hope that's okay. It was 2008 Hawaii Hospital Emergency Department data for uninsured kids, and we told how many number of uninsured kids, how many visits they had, what was the average hospital bill, and how many, and it was $4.4 million total in the hospital bills for 2008. So the pitch that we've made often with our kids' health insurance is, where would your tax dollars rather go, providing health insurance for kids or paying the hospitals for uninsured kids? And if you have the data for that for the emergency rooms, that's really, really helpful.
That's a great idea, and we do have the data for that.
Okay.
That's great. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, it might help nationally, too, but locally that's often been a pitch for us that's gotten a lot of attention.
Yeah, we actually can get that specific South Carolina data. That's very good. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks, Barbara. Other folks that are out there, kind of any thoughts on modes of communication? If not, I'm going to move forward. I'm going to leave it open for a couple more seconds. Okay. I guess I'm actually going to kind of jump to topics that you need help with. We kicked off this webinar series with the idea that we would help supplement some of the information that we provided at the conference on messaging and communication. And then, obviously there's a lot of other ideas, like I listed before, express lane eligibility, working with targeted populations, other techniques for reaching out, such as working in schools, things like that. Are there specific topics that you would like to hear more on? No one has burning topics that they need help with that we can help provide, whether it be a webinar or like a one-pager backgrounder.
Hi, this is Buddy.
Great.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay. You mentioned about working with the schools. Are there any particular methods recommend using when we're trying to work with the schools? I mean, would you prefer that you go to each school district individually or attempt to get from maybe the state attendant? Which would be better, and try to see if people would buy in and make sure that they participate and get more of children or covered?
Sure. I know that a variety of techniques have been tried around the country, and in fact that some of your fellow grantees are actually definitely the national experts on this. We did have a session on this at the summit, so I would suggest that my first place I'd go is go to the childrenshealthinsurancesummit.com and look at presentation that was made. We had, in fact, some of your colleagues that are probably listening right now are some of the presenters. So I would use that as kind of a first step, and I would say that, as with all outreach, and I think that Matt really alluded to this when he talked about, individualizing or localizing your message and making things very local, I think that, you see a variety of ways that have worked across the country because communities are very different, and so, but as far as getting some information about kind of good first steps and, ways that you can analyze your situation, that can certainly be the topic of, either a future webinar or a background paper or a case study. I think that could really resonate with a lot of folks.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So this is Diane again. I don't know if this would be a topic, but one thing that I think would be interesting to share with us, so right now we are about to submit our first report, right?
Yes.
And I don't know if maybe we could share at least the outreach strategies that folks are doing or the challenge that they are encounter. I think right now it's too soon, but maybe in the next, once we go to the second round of reports, I think would be a nice thing to know if folks have tried to work with businesses because of the unemployment or unemployment agencies or businesses that have like individuals working part-time, what are the things that they have done and how successful they were. Just maybe creating a place for us to share ideas would be helpful to me at least.
I think that sounds great, and I think that a lot of y'all's project officers have been in touch to let you know that we are creating a discussion forum for grantees. Now, the only catch, really, is that we only have two users right now per grant, so I realize that not everybody will have access to it, but What would be great is if we have really robust discussions about exactly what you're talking about, kind of what's relevant, what's now, what people are seeing in their communities, what people are seeing that's working, what messages are resonating. I think that that sounds like exactly the kind of stuff that we're hoping that folks will participate in our online discussion forum. And that should be up and running within the next couple weeks. So I look forward to hearing more information from your project officer about that online discussion forum.
Okay, or even maybe uploading a section of the reports on outreach strategies that, we can just go on our own time and just look on that particular piece is another suggestion.
Sure, that sounds great. And, it sounds to me like one of the things you're saying is kind of lessons learned and best practices is helpful, kind of case studies are helpful to you?
Yeah.
Great, okay.
And just seeing what others are doing. So kind of like the report is just one place that I think that would be easier for you guys just to kind of like extract that information. Then everybody can see what other states are doing and innovative ways of like reaching out to communities.
Great, that's very helpful. Thanks for the feedback.
You're welcome.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, this is Magdalena Castro-Lewis from the National Alliance for Hispanic Health.
Hi, Magdalena.
Hi. First of all, thank you so much for this presentation. I think it has been very helpful as we are preparing our media plans. So this was very helpful. But I also have a request, for some additional information. And I assume all the grantees are at least us, with we're working in 7 states. We are collecting a lot of personal data when we are, assisting families to sign up for the CHIP program. And what I would like to hear a little bit is if you have a way of doing a presentation on HIPAA and perhaps also on what kind of systems are there that are accessible to communities and that are not so expensive and, doable to ensure the confidentiality or the information that we are collecting. So do you have any thoughts on this that possible presentation to people to understand what HIPAA is, et cetera?
Sure. I think that sounds like it makes a lot of sense. I know that everybody is very concerned about protecting the privacy of the folks that we work with. I can speak from personal experience from working here on the Medicare and the Medicaid program that we have, strict procedures that we're required to do when we're handling personally identifiable information. And so, kind of sharing some of the best practices about protecting people's privacy with whom you're interacting, that definitely makes a lot of sense to me, Magdalena.
Okay, well, thank you. I look forward to, in the near future, to have that kind of presentation. Thank you.
Thanks. I think that makes a lot of sense. I appreciate the feedback.
Thank you.
Anybody else out there? Again, this is Lisa. I know that we kind of hit you over the head with this a little bit for getting your feedback. This might be one of those things that you wake up in the middle of the night and you think, wow, it is best to do a kind of presentation or a particular kind of information. So if you are kind of, if you do get information or you would like more information, if you have additional feedback, your project officer, best folks for you to talk to. They're always available, and I know that y'all are all out there kind of developing a good rapport between one another. So if you do have any other suggestions, get in touch with the project officer, and you can be certain that the whole team here at CMS that's working on our technical assistance for the National Enrollment Campaign will be notified. So we're we're definitely open to feedback and your thoughts, because we want to make everything that we're doing as useful as possible for y'all. So I just say thank you so much for joining us. It sounds like it's been a successful kickoff to our webinar series, and y'all should look forward to hearing from us very soon.